Welcome to Secrets of Car Buying, where each week we discuss the ins and outs of your next auto purchase. Join myself, Kendall Weaver, and the experts from one of Central Washington's largest auto dealerships, Steve Hans, Audi, Volkswagen, and Suzuki. You can hear the show and subscribe to new episodes at www.stevehans.com. And now, episode one, the beginning. All right, so here we are. I'm Kendall Weaver, and I'm talking with Adam Marcus and Greg. Greg, how do you say your last name? Tuckness?
Tuckness.
I never would have gotten that right. Who are you two? Adam, what do you do there? You're at Steve Hans.
Well, you know, I'm the store computer geek. I try to keep our website up and running, and my job to try to keep all our inventory straight and pictures up and descriptions. Really? and answer everybody's questions that come in across the internet for our cars.
And so you're the computer geek, and yet you don't wear tape on your glasses or live in your parents' basement.
Well, the parents' basement thing, you know, is debatable, but no glasses.
No glasses. All right. And Greg, what is your title and job there?
Basically, I'm Adam's counterpart. Between us, we're kind of the internet sales department, kind of doing the same thing that Adam talked about. We receive internet leads, phone calls, emails, and respond to them. And help people find a good way to buy a car.
So the purpose of this show, because this is our first run out, is really to help educate people about buying a car and the auto research and buying process. Because, more important than ever to be educated about what you're doing, of course.
Not only that, but hopefully, you know, I hope by the end of today when we get done chatting, they're going to kind of know what it's like on our end as well. So that, just to try to give them a good rounded idea of what happens, you know, when they make an inquiry on a car.
Exactly. Because people think it's a secret process. You know, it's like
That's right. And we're all about giving them as much information as we can.
Yeah, I think that's kind of the new and right way to do it, certainly. So let's go through some topics here. One of the things that people, and you see this, it's been popularized by television, some ads and such, but Carfax. First off, let's explain, what is Carfax?
Well, you know, Carfax is a very cool nationwide, and it might even go, you know, up into Canada and into Mexico a little bit. I'm not sure, but but basically Carfax kind of helps tell the story of cars that are purchased and sold in the United States. They are hooked up with all the different agencies of all these different states, and if a car is reported to, let's say, Washington State Patrol, that it's been involved in an accident, they kind of pick up on that and attach it to the VIN number of the car. So at a later date, if you or I were to be out shopping for that car and we were to pull up a Carfax, it'll throw up a little red flag that says, hey, you know what, this car's been involved in an accident.
Oh, right, okay. So it's like a running history of the car that is not controlled by the car dealer or, you know, anybody basically other than Carfax, so that you have a running history of the fact that the title was, if it had been in an accident or on fire or in a lake.
It can report very minor accidents.
Yeah.
Or it can, you know, report the big stuff. I think that this all actually came about as a, back in the day, odometer fraud was the big thing. You know, car dealerships were, you know, famous for rolling back odometers.
Okay. Yeah.
And this is one of the things that Carfax covers. Carfax came about just to try to give the consumers here again as much information as they could about the car that they're purchasing.
Right. And so you guys consider it a good tool.
I do. But there are some things that I think the general consumer needs to know about Carfax are good and bad. Carfax is a very, very good tool to let them know whether or not the car has been involved in an accident and if the odometer has been tampered with and all of that. However, it's not an absolute, you know, guarantee.
Right.
Carfax throws out that buyback guarantee. One of the things that it's important that everybody knows is that Carfax buyback guarantee only works if the consumer who purchases the car purchases the Carfax.
Oh.
Kendall, if you were to come down and see me and purchase a car, and I have a copy of the Carfax here on every pre-owned car that I have, and I show that to you, and it says that it's all perfect, and 6 months down the road, you find out that you know, the car was involved in a total loss accident someplace. If you were to go back and try to, you know, activate that Carfax guarantee at that point, it wouldn't work because you, as a consumer, didn't purchase Carfax.
Ah, okay. All right. Good to clarify.
Yeah.
All right. So Carfax comes into play. And, okay, it's one of the tools. Now, let's talk about that. Is that an online situation? Does that involve the internet? Can you do that without? How does that work?
Absolutely. You can go online to Carfax.com, and you can, as a consumer, purchase a Carfax just by using your VIN number of the vehicle that you either have or the vehicle that you are interested in purchasing, and purchase that Carfax as an individual. A lot of the dealers, like ourselves, will use the Carfax, that, like Adam mentioned earlier, that we put a Carfax on every, pull a Carfax on every car that we have on the lot, so that we have that upfront visibility and accountability of the cars that we are selling, so that there isn't any of those issues that people use Carfax for to try to avoid, so that they know they're making a good purchase from their dealer.
Right.
So you can purchase that online individually.
Now, do you have any idea what that costs?
It'll have a sorted rating. It'll be a variable rating where there'll be, I think it's like $9.95 for one, or you can do like $10 for $40.
Okay.
Or, I mean, they've got varied rates, and depending on how many you want to purchase.
All right. Something I should have done when we started this, I guess, is let's talk about Steve Hahn's Auto Dealership there for a moment, by the way. Adam, what lines of cars are we talking about that Steve Hahn deals with?
We are a franchise dealer for Volkswagen, Audi, and Suzuki. However, pre-owned, used cars, we've got everything.
How many cars on the lot at any given time, do you know?
Ballpark, somewhere just a little over 200 seems to be a pretty consistent average.
Talk about your car's value as a trade-in. People come in, and obviously, probably the most common method for purchasing a car is to trade in your old car and pick up the new one. How does that work? Has that changed throughout the years? Do people do that more often, less often?
No, here again, that's something that's still consistent. I mean, and it is the easiest way. One of the things that I always like to tell my customers is that they have to realize that if you have a car and you're using it for a trade-in, every single time that you trade in your car, if you were to take the time and sell that car on your own, mm-hmm. you're probably going to get more money for it.
Right.
Because when I take your car in on trade, I have to take it in. It has to go through reconditioning. And what I mean by that is we run a 40-point safety inspection on every car that comes through. So there's going to be certain things that we're going to have to fix on the car. It has to go through and be detailed and cleaned and made ready for sale.
So it's going to cost you a little bit of money. Sale. Yeah, it's going to cost you a little bit of money to get that car ready for you to sell.
You bet. You bet. And then obviously, we're here to make a profit.
Sure.
Then we also have to pay our salesmen their commissions.
If someone's going to go. So basically, it's a matter of convenience.
It is.
Maybe they could do better selling it on their own. But if they want it to be quick and dirty and easy, then you guys take care of that.
Absolutely. Sure. We'd love to take their trades in and help them out. A lot of times people nowadays, if they do, like Adam said, they do want to sell it themselves, it is a way that they can make a little bit extra money. But this day and age, a lot of folks don't want people coming to their house and taking phone calls and that kind of thing. So it's just a nice, easy way to just transition and trade off your old ride and come in and purchase your new ride. So it's a matter of a lot of times the customers that I deal with that are like the convenience of it, to just be able to be done with it and not have to mess with having possibly two car payments or a second vehicle they're trying to sell.
Right, and I've known a lot of people who've actually tried to sell they bought the new car, and then they sit for 4 months trying to sell the old one.
Exactly. Now they got parking issues in the driveway and extra car out front and double insurance and all of those issues that, there's a lot of factors to that people don't think about when they're thinking about trying to sell their own car. So it's a good thing in some ways, and it's a bad thing in some other ways.
Sure.
And not only that, but when you in the state of Washington, when you trade in a car, you also get a tax credit.
Really?
And so what you only pay tax on the difference between your trade-in value and the cost of the new car. So if your old car is worth $10,000, the first $10,000 of the new car, you don't pay any tax on. So that's also something you have to figure in that is a, can be a fairly substantial savings to you.
And that's one of the points that you put in our show notes here, Adam, was to look at the total cost of the deal and not just the cost of the car. So there are some things that most people wouldn't have thought of that you were talking about.
There is, and there are so many different ways that when you're looking at it, you know, here in the Valley, we're reasonably blessed with low tax taxation on a new car purchase compared to other places in the state. There are places in the state that are a full percentage to a percentage point and a quarter more than what we are here in the Valley. So if you're over in Seattle, 1.25%, doesn't sound like a lot, but it can be $300-$500 on the purchase of a new car. That and then of course there's the trade-in value that you need to take into consideration, and then if you're financing, the cost of financing, different dealerships have different access to different lenders, so there are a lot of things to take into consideration when you're making this new purchase over and above just the cost of the car.
What about trade-in values? Is that going to vary from dealer to dealer? Is it pretty standardized? Is there any kind of standardization for it?
Trade-in values are it happens to be whoever's opinion you're talking to at the time.
Really?
Okay. There's lots of tools, and here again, great places for the consumer to go. There is Kelly online, Kelly Blue Book.
Right.
You can go there to their online site and book out your car. Right. They have all sorts of tools on there to help you determine, the value of the car that you're purchasing, the value of the car that you're trading in. So there's lots of tools out there.
But it's going to be up to the dealer probably to establish that price, whatever Kelly Blue Book says, right?
Well, Kelly Blue Book is a tool.
Right.
I happen to know, Kendall, that you're into sports cars. And so if you have two 1970 Corvettes sitting side by side, even though they're going to be the same model and make and have the exact same equipment, the two cars are going to be worth two different amounts of money.
Right.
The number of miles, how somebody's cared for the car. All of these things are taken into consideration.
Right.
And so, these are good tools, but they are not absolutes.
So tell me this then, you're the car dealer. So from the car dealer standpoint, and this is one of those things I think people wonder about buying a car, is it better for me as a consumer if I go get my own loan, if I go talk to my credit union, my bank, or just go through the financing that you guys can provide, and does it matter to you?
Well, here again, giving you all the information that you need to be make an educated decision, it does make a difference to us because if we arrange your financing, we generally get a small kickback from the lender.
Oh, okay.
That's part of our profit, and it's not very much, but we definitely would like to take advantage of that if we can.
Yeah.
One of the advantages here again is education. If you have a lender that you've purchased through before, and you can go in there and find out, what kind of rate you're going to receive. Mm-hmm. Have that information with you when you go in and start your shopping, because that's one lender that you have access to. I may have access to 40.
Sure. Yeah. I was going to say you guys have the advantage of having some power there because of the amount of borrowing that you do or that you send their way.
Mm-hmm.
The one thing I want to point out, by the way, is that Adam and Greg are in a working office. As you can tell, you guys are right in the hustle and bustle of the auto dealership right now, right?
Yes, we are. So you're going to hear doors opening and pages and customers walking up and all kinds of different things.
It's the sound of cars being sold.
Absolutely.
Now, speaking of that, we're here in happy, friendly little Yakima, Washington. Now, this being a podcast, people could be listening from anywhere across the world. Do you sell cars to people who aren't from Yakima, Washington?
Yes, we do. That's one of the things about internet sales is that you truly get customers from all over the country, Canada. We see routinely customers from Canada coming down. We just sold a couple of cars recently in the last couple of weeks from some customers coming down from Canada making their purchase. We see we've had calls in the last couple of weeks from Florida, Texas. So literally you get people calling from all over the country, especially when they're looking for a particular model or style or of a car, then they will call and do a search on the internet for that, and then that's how they end up getting a hold of us and finding us. So,
right, and I think people are, you know, and I guess our podcast is attributed to that. People are becoming more sophisticated about that. You know, Adam mentioned my fondness for sports cars. If I was going to look for a 1970 Corvette, you know, I wouldn't buy the one that happened to be in town. I'd want to go out and find the one that was red or black or, you know, had the 4-speed or didn't, or had the L88 engine or the L42 or whatever it is. People know now that they can go find the car that they want.
And that's what more people do more and more, is they sit at home at their desk, at their computer, and they start deciding, you know, maybe I want to buy that 70 Corvette. Where the heck would I find one? Because a lot of times you drive by a lot of different car dealerships around, but you may or may not see the car you're looking for. And many times when it's a more unique piece, you won't find it. So when you search the internet, that allows you to do your homework and shopping. And in this day and age, everybody's busy. They're looking to save more time. So that's where the internet comes in. More people are shopping the internet, and not uncommon for some folks to even make a purchase sight unseen. One of the things we do when a customer calls on a particular car is that they will give us a call and then have some interest in a particular vehicle. We'll actually go right out onto the lot with that car, call them back on our cell phone, and do a virtual walk around. I've even done virtual test drives and let the customer over my cell phone hear the engine run and start up and all of those variables. So,
well, sure. You know, if I was looking for a car now, there's no way I'd go drive around from lot to lot. I can do that right here on my desk on the internet.
Absolutely. And that's what makes the shopping a little bit easier for folks now. And that's why it's becoming, you know, you're seeing 6 to 7 people on the lot today have already shopped the internet and found kind of the cars they're looking for.
And then tell me, while we're on that subject, I guess, what is the website to find you guys?
SteveHahns.com.
Oh, just SteveHahns, HAHNS.com?
You bet.
And then so on that website, this is always important to me. When I go to the website, some people have one picture, some people have 10 pictures. What's your display like? Because I don't have it in front of me.
You know what? It varies on the car. You know, we can we have the ability to put up 250 pictures on each car.
Okay.
You're generally going to see probably somewhere between 10 and 20 pictures, depending on the car.
Wow. Okay. And see, I guess that's the other thing. You know, it used to be that if you were spending $5,000 on a car, it was one thing. But now, you know, what's the price of a new car? I mean, 18 to 28 grand, something. If you are in Canada, it might be worth taking the drive down here to check out the options, right?
Well, sure. But not only that, you know, I mean, you know, one of the lines that we're blessed to sell here is Audi.
Sure.
And, you know, an Audi A8, you know, is an $84,000 car, brand new.
Yeah, yeah.
And so there is a lot of variables out there, and it's worth somebody's time to do their homework and learn about pricing and get all the information that they can get.
So tell me this, if I call and I want the Audi A8, but I want, you know, a particular model and such, and you guys don't have it right then, how does that work?
We can find it.
we have ways.
Fortunately, we have an incredible store. And I think, you know, most of your new car dealerships will be able to accommodate you. But we focus a great deal on customer service. And if you come in, and it doesn't have to be on an $80,000 car, if you come in and are looking at a $9,000 Suzuki and you want it to be in gray and all I have is red, I'm going to do everything that I can do to meet your needs. You know, I can jump on our system and look at every Suzuki in the state of Washington to see if I can find the car that you're looking for.
So you can import it from another dealership, basically?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Now, we've even, from time to time, we've actually gone out and found private owners that had a vehicle that our customers wanted and was able to make a purchase for them and resell it to our customer.
Wow. So, Adam, in our show notes, you put, is it better to purchase a used car at a franchise dealer? What do you mean?
You know,
you mean as opposed to a car dealer that just sells used cars? Is that what you're saying?
And that was my point. I guess that I just wanted the consumers to be aware in my opinion, you know, if you're out shopping for a new car and you have 15 lots to choose from, and half of the lots are franchise dealers, you know, Ford, Chevy, Dodge, Audi, Volkswagen, Suzuki. If I were a consumer, that would be the place that I would start. You know, when I pull up to Joe's Cars, and this may be unfair, but it makes me a little nervous. You know, the guy's got 6 cars out in his front lawn with a for sale sign. You know, just use common sense. You know, look at the surroundings of the dealership. Make sure that, you know, you're buying from someplace that it looks like you'd want to do business.
Another factor there, Kendall, also is the fact that in almost every case, the franchise dealer has a very nice service department that's dictated by the franchise agreement. So you know that you've got certified technicians, you've got very good quality people in the back end, should you ever need service for that in the future. Plus the fact that you can bring that car back to that dealer, and even if you bought a used one, come back and buy a new one at a future date, you end up with one dealer that you can do business with, you know, over the many years, and you build that relationship, you always get taken care of. That's one of the concerns in the car business, is trying to find somebody reputable that you can deal with and be comfortable with. And here at Steve Hans, that's what we try to build, is that long-term customer relationship. So that's another factor.
I'm sure, you know, the other thing is what I've noticed is that Joe's car dealership, next week it'll be Dwayne's car dealership. Those seem to change quite often. And Steve Hans has been there for a long time now, hasn't he?
You know, I don't know exactly what year that Steve started selling cars, but the Hans have been selling cars in the Valley since there were cars, I think,
since,
you know,
the beginning
his dad and him. Yeah, they've been here a long time.
Do people buy on emotion? And should they?
Yeah. I mean, how can you not walk in and, you know, you're in and you're walking through the lot and you know that you're looking for a minivan to for your wife to drive.
But there's that Audi.
And then you come across that $80,000 A8.
Yeah.
You know.
Exactly.
Common sense, you know. You keep your eyes open and, you know, make sure that what you're looking at is going to meet your needs. And that's the biggest thing that and a professional salesperson is going to try to steer you in that direction. They're going to try to establish, you know, what your wants and needs are, and then kind of follow up to see what your desires are, you know, after that. You know, obviously, if, you know, you need a minivan to haul around six kids and you come across a cute little Mazda Miata at a great price, it probably isn't going to work out too well.
That'll only haul you and one kid.
Maybe, if it's a small kid.
It is a small kid.
One of the
kid,
other
exactly.
things, Kendall, that we do here at Steve Hans, it's a little unique to most dealerships, is we will actually bring the customer in and take 10 minutes of their time and do a customer guest survey. We'll actually go through this guest survey and identify what their wants and needs are, so that they're not spending time running around a lot looking at our 200 cars trying to find that right perfect unit. Mm. What we'll do through this guest survey is establish their needs and wants and desires, and if there's some passion in that, we'll actually list that in there also. And we'll bring up three or four cars for them so they can stay in the nice warmth of the dealership and then go test drive those vehicles that they have identified through their questions and answers as to what they would like. And then that makes the shopping experience a lot easier and smoother and a lot more fun, quite frankly, rather than running around in the cold or hot trying to find that one perfect car.
Well, and that's the other point, I guess, to make, is that I know I've been in your dealership. You got a nice, big, beautiful service bay. You got a couple different good customer areas. You got a vending machine. You got a couch. You've even got that massage chair. Not a lot of places have that. It's worth stopping by just for that massage chair, but you won't want to get up. You can start charging people a quarter
for
that.
Sit there. He said, I come back in here, get my oil changed here just specifically so I can come and sit in his chair and read the paper. So he looks forward to it.
I was going to say, you could put a quarter slot right next to it, and people would put the quarter in there. Because
well, it's still free at this point, but we'll take that under advisement.
I would think about that. Tell me this. What is there a particular deal breaker mistake people make when they come in and are trying to buy a car? Is there one particular thing that stands out to either of you guys that hurts them and their chances for getting financing or this type of thing?
Not really. I mean, there's usually, I mean, if people have good credit, they're going to get financing very easily. In this day and age, there's with the economy the way it is, there's a lot of folks that's had some credit challenges and issues. But we have some lending institutions that look at that type of credit history. And getting financing for most people now has been very, even though challenging, has been very accommodating for most customers. It's pretty rare that we here at Steve Hans aren't able to find financing or suitable financing for most of our customers. And the neat thing is we've got such a great finance department that they really do find some reasonable interest rates, even for people with challenging credit. But that's the only real stumbling block that's out there that could possibly be an issue right now.
And that's interesting to hear, because I think a lot of people, especially younger people, might just think, you know, oh, I could never buy that car.
That's a very good point. And what'll happen at some dealerships, you know, Joe's Cars, or as we talked about earlier jokingly, they can be in a situation where you get the buy here, pay here scenario, and you're usually paying just ridiculous interest rates, or they've jacked the car way, way up just because they're going to try to finance you themselves. Right. Those aren't always good situations for customers in having a car that they can, you know, trade off down the road.
Yeah, exactly. Tell me, guys, as we wind things up here, think about, okay, we're talking Audi, we're talking Volkswagen, we're talking Suzuki. What is the top, of the line Audi now, that A8 that you mentioned?
You know, Audi has a bunch of vehicles that are the super class that you can purchase. That's probably, that you would actually see in a dealership, the A8's probably the top of the line.
And the... Oh, wait, are we into the... we were way into the 2010 automobiles, aren't we? They're already out and being sold.
Oh,
right?
Absolutely, yeah. We got lots of selections, the 2010s out.
Now, what about Volkswagen? What's the most exciting part of the line there?
You know, it depends, you know, what do you want to define as exciting? I mean, they have the Touareg, which is an incredible SUV that is just fun to drive, incredibly dependable. You know, they've got the cute Beetle, which, you know, appeals to so many people. Yeah. And
I just don't like the Beetles because I can't tell if they're going forwards or backwards. You don't know if they're coming or going most of the time.
Volkswagen has out, you know, right now they've got the TDI, the turbo diesels out there that we have a lot of our customers coming back telling us that they're getting in excess of 50 miles to the gallon.
Wow.
You know, you compare the diesels to the hybrids out there, and we're actually doing better economy, with the diesel engines. Wow. And what the hybrid gas electric cars are doing.
Well, that's really important. So, you know, we're lucky to be in a small town here, but boy, a lot of places, you know, I lived in Seattle and Denver where you're commuting 45 minutes or an hour every day. And if you've got anything more than a short drive to work, mileage really becomes an issue when you're buying another car.
Well, sure. And it's one of those things that is ultimately, you know, that also going to affect the resale of the car and all of that. You know, and that's the cool thing. And this is all part about doing your homework. You know, the diesel engine with the economy that it gets is so much better suited for somebody who lives in a rural situation, such as most people here in Yakima, compared to what the hybrids do. Mm-hmm. So and that's what your sales consultant should be there to do. And that's the important, that you find somebody that you want to work with and that you trust. Because they're going to be able to point out all of these differences and the advantages and disadvantages of each one of the cars that you might be looking at. So if you leave out, if you leave here with anything, you know, as you're thinking about purchasing your car over the internet, don't forget the human factor of your salesperson. Find somebody that you can trust and let them, you know, help you because they may know some things out there that you've never considered before.
All right, good to know. And before I forget, though, tell me about Suzuki's. I don't know much about Suzuki's. What does their line look like? Do they make SUVs, small cars, big cars?
Yes, they do. They've got a real nice SX4 series that's out. They make an SUV crossover. Very exciting cars, very well built on a smaller scale, a little more economical, more kind of your everyday car, but yet some sporty feel and appeal to it.
Hmm. What's the ratio between new cars and used cars that you carry and or sell?
Probably we sell probably 10 pre-owned to every one new.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting. Now, tell me this. Before we go, last point I want to make, a website. If somebody's going to go on the web and look and say, okay, you know, I'm due. I need to buy an SUV. Should they go to... Well, where should they go? Should they come straight to your guys' site? Is there Auto Trader? Is there other websites? What do you suggest?
There's, of course, we obviously suggest you should come to our site, www.stevehans.com. We've got a great selection there, but also there, most people will go to like autotrader.com, cars.com, and they will do a search of a, you know, you can go out 200, 300 miles, 25 miles, whatever you want of your zip code, and search the cars that you're looking for there. And we will certainly be prevalent in a lot of those searches because we have a large selection of cars in a cross variety, so we really come up in just about anybody's search. But, you know, you can certainly search those areas, and that's a good way to search for your total car needs and see what's available out there for other places. But when you do that search, Auto Trader as an example, you're going to bring up 15, 20 cars of interest that you're looking for. The thing you want to do when you do those kind of searches is you don't want to just look at the price tag on the list, because a lot of times you may have a car that may not have a good clean Carfax history, Carfax, and you may have issues with that. So price isn't always the issue. Mileage sometimes isn't always the issue. A lot of times a better purchase can be made on a car with a little more miles than the one that looks like it's cheaper with less miles, because there could be some issues there that you're not realizing. So that's the one side that it's key that you find a good internet person, salesperson, or a good sales consultant on the lot to address those issues and help direct you to the right car. If price is the only issue, then you can certainly search there, but that may not be your best purchase.
And the other point I guess I should make is that now that we've talked about all this homework that people could do, the other option is, if you're looking to buy a type of vehicle, is to just not do any of it and call you guys and have you do it for them, right?
We have a lot of customers that do that. Matter of fact, I got one call this morning of a gentleman that called and had very specific needs he was looking for.
And just said, find it, right?
He said, just find it and call me back. And we did a search for him this morning just before talking with you, and we found about 5 cars that fit his very narrow needs. So you don't have to necessarily do the internet. A lot of folks still don't have computers, or you know, some of the older folks don't want to do computers. So just feel free to call us here at the dealership, and we'll do the internet search and work for you.
All right. What is your phone number, Adam?
It is 509-248-4700.
509-248-4700. All right, guys, I think that's it.
Okay.
Adam Marcus,
thank
a great
you very
toughness.
Much,
thank you very much. And we will.
And Kendall, by the way, are you ready for your next purchase, or is there somebody in your family that I might be able to help you out with?
I think you've sold us all cars, haven't you, Adam?
Kendall, thank you very much. Have a super day.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Bye. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us for Secrets of Car Buying. Listen and subscribe at www.stevehans.com. And join us next time as we work to make your next auto purchase your best one.